This is the Word in the Walk podcast, pursuing faithfulness to Christ while being grounded in biblical truth.
Well, today we're going to be talking about forgiveness. This is a crucial element of the Christian life and something that each one of us will come in contact with where forgiveness is necessary. And oftentimes we'll find ourselves being the culprit who needs forgiveness extended to us in our own sinfulness. And we live in a fallen world. The sweet reality of the body of Christ is not yet that there is no sin. We actually do sin against one another, and yet in Christ there should be an eagerness to extend forgiveness. We know the danger if forgiveness is withheld. Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Verse 15, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. Undealt with bitterness can wreak havoc in the church, can have significant consequences on the church. And so having a clear understanding of forgiveness, what it is, the role it should play in the believer's life is absolutely crucial. And today I'm joined by Tyler and Tom, the elders, along with myself at Gilbert Bible Church. We're going to be discussing forgiveness. And in fact, forgiveness is so crucial. I'm sure we'll look at this passage later, but in Matthew 18, Jesus ties forgiveness and our willingness to forgive others with God's willingness to extend forgiveness to us. It's just to be part of your identity as one who has been extended forgiveness by Christ that we likewise are willing to extend forgiveness toward others. So a lot to talk about here. It's a broad topic. Can't probably dive into every nuance of every situation we might find ourselves in. But let's start with just a basic definition. Tom, I'd love to hear from you thinking about forgiveness. Just how would you define forgiveness? What is forgiveness?
Josh, it's a great question to ask. What's the definition of forgiveness? And I think the easiest way to give a definition is really just to kind of describe what Scripture says. First and foremost, forgiveness is a command. God commands His children to forgive. I think to understand forgiveness, it's helpful to ask, what does it look like? It's a willingness to die to self. It's a willingness to love somebody that you are either willing to overlook, or maybe it's too big to overlook, but that you are willing to just release the offender or the one that sinned against you from what you think they may deserve, that you just pour love over them in forgiveness. It's a picture, as Christ is giving us mercy, we're giving mercy to others that have offended us, others that have sinned against us. We're not giving them the wrath that their sin may deserve, but we are showing them mercy. And I think a huge part of forgiveness and understanding it is there's a change of attitude toward the offender or the one that has sinned against you. It's choosing to have a heart of love for the person that has offended you.
That's helpful, Tom. That's good. Hard to do.
It is hard to do.
It's hard to do when the wounds are deep or the offense is severe. Maybe I mentioned Hebrews 12, the danger of bitterness, and Matthew 18, and the call to forgive, and the story of the ruler that was forgiven much, or the slave that was forgiven much by the ruler. What else does Scripture have to say when you think about just a base point, starting point for considering forgiveness? If we want to align our thinking with God's thinking, what are some go-to passages? What would Scripture speak to the believer pertaining to forgiveness?
You know, I think you could expand how we even think about what does Scripture say, because often where you see unforgiveness, you'll see anger.
Mm.
Where you see unforgiveness, you see bitterness. And as, you know, Hebrews 12:15 points out there, as I like to say, there's three consequences to being bitter. You miss God's grace, you cause trouble, and you're defiling many.
Hmm. Mm.
And I do think, so if you're thinking about the topic of forgiveness, it's, you know, how do you even think rightly?
Hmm.
And that becomes the question, is about my own thinking about my situation.
Hmm. I appreciate what Paul says in Colossians 3, kind of talking about the new man and right. how you are to walk in light of that, no longer as the old self, but this new self being put on, renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, Paul says in verse 10 of Colossians 3. And then verse 12, he tells us what we are to put on, and really some things that are to be characteristic virtues of the Christian that we go after. And he says in verse 12, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. And I love what he says next, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Mm. It's not even a disposition of when I'm overtly sinned against, then I must forgive. But this heart of compassion, this heart of tender humility, kindness, love, he'll get to in just a moment. That's to happen even just with a complaint, even when people are living outside of our preferences, where we may not be able to point to something and say, well, this is a sin, but I just have a complaint. Maybe I'm just not getting along with someone. There is to be that heart level releasing of offense that you talked about when talking about what forgiveness is, not holding on to bitterness, a charitable attitude towards one another. And I think if we are not conducting ourselves like that regularly, if we're neglecting these other virtues, compassion, humility, kindness, it is going to make the practice of forgiving somebody when there's an egregious offense all the more hard. If we're undisciplined in simply letting go of complaints, it's going to make it really difficult when there's something more severe. And then kind of the standard of this, Paul says in the middle of verse 13, is forgiving one another, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. So Christ is the standard. If we're struggling to forgive someone, even just an offense or a complaint, we need to look to Christ, because he's the standard that we need to rise to.
Well, you know, when you look at these verses that you read from Colossians, this is clearly not based on how you feel.
Mm.
These verses, these words, these characteristics of the believer, they become a decision of the will. Am I going to live the way the Lord wants me to do? And I know I've heard many people have said, I don't feel like forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how you feel. We're called. There needs to be a decision. There needs to be an attitude to do what the Lord has called us to, how to live as mm-hmm. his children.
So talk through that a little bit. I imagine offenses can be severe. Hurt can go deep, wounds that don't heal quickly over time. And those feelings can be a real conflict for individuals, where maybe they want to forgive. Maybe they've tried to forgive and they go, They did it again, and I just don't know that I can. I just don't know if I can trust them. I don't know if I can forgive them. How practically would you help a believer who maybe knows intellectually this is important and I need to forgive, I need to release the offense, but emotionally is having a hard time getting there? Because I think probably all of us have been in that situation where emotionally there was a lot to overcome to forgive.
Especially, if the sin or the offense has happened repeatedly over a long period of time, it is hard. And you said practically, so I will try to respond as practical of just thinking of a particular situation in my own life where I did not recognize it at the time because I really thought the person was sinning against me, but they were just clearly really being offensive. And I remember it was one of those prayers that you do when you're multitasking. You're driving down the road and you're in prayer. And I call that a multitasking prayer. And I would just daily, I would be forgiving this person. And over several months, getting to a point where I really felt the need to bring up the offense to this person, I knew I needed to be more thorough in seeking forgiveness and just giving it to the Lord. And so I can remember sitting there at my kitchen table, and I made a list of the things that really offended me. And I was proud of my list. I had 6 or 7 items on this list that I just thought were just really, I can't wait to share this with this individual. And then taking this to the Lord in prayer. And I'm reviewing my list, and immediately I recognized these things on my list the Lord never promised me. I was demanding something from an individual that God never promised me. Hmm. And that session of just sitting there in prayer with my puny little list and just recognizing I really had no complaint. Hmm. And praise God, I didn't sin boldly, but I can tell you the fruit of holding on to something, there was bitterness. There was a bitter root. It was irritating just looking at this person. Hmm. And absolutely freeing to go to the Lord and recognize, Lord, I'm demanding something you never promised me from somebody. Hmm. Nobody's got the right to do that. I don't have the right to do that. And at that point, it was just clearly a decision of the will that I am overlooking. He's welcome to his opinion. I have no reason to be offended. Mm. So practically, I hope that explains it. That's just a situation from my life of just practically what did forgiveness look like, of just truly releasing any wrath or anger I had and just trusting the Lord with it. Mm. Mm. I do think ultimately, when we think about forgiveness, we have to ultimately just recognize God has ordained this situation mm-hmm. for his good purposes in my life. Mm-hmm. And that's just a comfort. Mm-hmm. So hopefully I scratched at the practicalness, because it is a tough topic. You may never forgive, but you need to release other people from your anger, from your wrath.
What do you mean by that? You may never forgive, but you need to.
I thank you for catching that. You may never forget.
Okay.
Maybe have taken such a long period of time. You may not forget. It could truly have impacted your life that. It is hard, but forgetting's not the issue. It's being Christ-like.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because oftentimes
there can be kind of a, I don't know where the phrase came from, but this idea of forgive and forget, that those right. are inseparable things, that to forgive is to forget. There are things that people experience that you can't just expunge from your memory automatically. And there may be offenses where there are natural consequences that need to be navigated, but that's different than holding someone under your wrath. Can you talk a little bit, Tyler, maybe if you want to speak to some of those things, when thinking about forgive and forget, what are we forgetting, if anything at all, and how do we think about forgiveness when it's a situation that you shouldn't forget for the good of the offender? Right. It wouldn't serve them to forget necessarily.
Two things from Scripture that I love and I go back to. And one is our Savior on the cross, who says, Father, forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus isn't saying, help me forget about this. And when Stephen is being stoned in Acts 7, before the Lord takes him, he says, Lord, forgive them. He wasn't praying, oh, I hope I don't remember the pain of this.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, forgive them.
Tyler, you have any thoughts on that? Anything you want to add at this point?
No, I know we are called to forgive in the same way that we have been forgiven, to show mercy in the same way we've been shown mercy, Tom pointed us to earlier. I know for me it is so helpful to just think through gospel truths to remind myself. You pointed us to Matthew 18 just a minute ago. The master in that story in verse 32 says, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me.
Mm.
For me, that's a pause right there. Have I pleaded with God for mercy?
Yeah.
Have I understood the amount of mercy that I actually need from the Lord?
Mm.
And doing some personal accounting, doing some personal inventory and doing some focusing on the holiness of God, how great he is, how everything belongs to him, and how great my offense is because it is against him, really helps put into perspective someone else's sin against you.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't compare.
Yeah.
There is no way that I could have been sinned against like I have sinned against my Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I am desperately needing his forgiveness, desperately needing his mercy.
Mm.
And if that is the case, then should I hold on to anything against someone else?
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting, Tyler. The parallel to Matthew 18 of the parable of the unmerciful servant is Luke 17. And I love this. Luke, what Matthew takes a lot of ink to talk about, Luke summarizes it in three verses. And Luke 17, verse 3, it starts, this is Jesus, this is red letter in your Bible. Jesus gives a warning. And we know from Matthew 18, he's talking to Peter. This is Peter that he's talking to. And we got to love Peter because he's so frequently putting his foot in his mouth. But Jesus starts in verse 3 and he says, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. So Jesus is clearly given a warning that we need to be on our guard. But I love Peter in verse 5 says, oh Lord, increase our faith.
Mm-hmm.
And what I take that is, Lord, I need to increase my faith that you can change men and women, boys and girls.
Mm.
That somebody can repent and truly repent. And I just think it's so helpful that I know this is a warning from our Savior, and my remedy is I just need to believe. Hmm. I need to increase my faith.
Tom, there's something so helpful there too. In Matthew chapter 5, when forgiveness is talked about, and in Mark 11, where forgiveness is talked about, both of those instances are tied to prayer. So as we're talking about how do I forgive someone, I think it really is helpful to remember what is true. Mm. It is helpful to change your mind. And I think it needs to be tied to going to the Lord in prayer. Mm-hmm. This isn't something you just do on your own. In Mark 11, he says, whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, there it's another one where it's actually not just sin. Mm. It's if there is anything that you have against anyone, forgive.
Mm. Let me just put a little spin on that. And this is the Tom paraphrase of Mark 11:25. When you stand praying, it's like before you come worship God, mm-hmm. forgive. And that's what you see in Matthew 5 is mm-hmm. I need to have a heart of worship, and preparing my heart for worship could very well include forgiving others.
So I've heard Luke 17, those verses used to defend that forgiveness is only necessary when the other party repents or when they come to you. What you just shared actually raises the bar above that, that yeah. Jesus' intention, what he's getting after in verse 17, is what he's actually saying. That it's not wise to read into what he is saying, yeah. what he's not saying. That is, yeah. this is the only case in which you forgive. But no, if your brother comes to you, you need to forgive. You need right. to extend that. Right. That's not a mandate to only forgive when they've come to you.
Right.
What you're saying there, it's actually to be so on the believer's heart that to worship God and hold on to unforgiveness is inconsistent one with each other. That if we're holding on to bitterness, if we're unwilling to release others our offense, but then we come to God and worship, that there's an inconsistency there that will actually hinder our worship.
Absolutely. And I think that takes us back to where you started us back in Colossians chapter 3. How can I have a heart of compassion while holding on to bitterness? Mm. How can I be kind? And one thing about the word kind, we're called to be kind, and the word kind is a picture of God allowing us to repent. When you think of Romans 2:4, it's your kindness, Lord, that brings us to repentance. Mm-hmm. And so we are to be the type of men and women that in our kindness, it makes it easy for people to be repenters.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you could hold on to bitterness, because I do know that there are people out there that would hold, you don't need to forgive until the person has come to you and sought your forgiveness. Well, I think because we know this can hinder our walk with the Lord if we're bitter, that will hinder your spiritual growth. And what if the offender never comes to the realization that they've sinned against you or that they've even offended you? Mm. So I would say, and what my remedy would be, is you already have gone to the Lord with an attitude of, Lord, I forgive. You don't go and say, hey, I just want to let you know, I did forgive you last week for what you did. No, you've dealt with it between you and the Lord, and if this person ever... they may not ever realize that they've offended you. Mm-hmm. And for you to hold on to that they need to get this just right, we can't live to that standard. We don't even realize who we've offended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where someone
sins against you, offends you, recognizes it, and seeks your forgiveness. Hopefully, we've already forgiven them in our heart.
Absolutely.
And that's an easy conversation. Reconciliation takes place quickly. If we haven't, we need to forgive them. We're called to forgive them before the Lord. I think sometimes forgiveness can be put in this category of, am I going to be charitable or not? Right. It's, are you going to be obedient to the Lord's command to you as a believer to extend forgiveness right. or not? We need to put that in that category. But just to restate what you said, if someone has offended us or even sinned against us, maybe they're not a believer. They don't agree with God that it's sin. Right. They think they're vindicated. Maybe they've passed away or the relationship is estranged. We're actually called to forgive them in our heart before God.
Yeah.
And in that, if they're unaware that they sinned against us, it would not be a gracious expression of forgiveness to go rub in their face, well, you offended me this way, and I just want to let you know, look at how godly I am. I forgave you.
Yeah.
Although sometimes we might feel compelled to want to do that. And I think sometimes we can have a conflict in our emotions, in our thinking, to where we want them kind of a manipulative way for them to know that they've sinned against us. And yet look at how we did what was right. And I think if we were being honest before the Lord and before them, if we were truly extending forgiveness to them, we wouldn't need to bring it up to them again.
But you know, Josh, what you said reminded me of something, that our forgiveness, Scripture gives us a, if I'm going to make up a word here, a prescriptive that the believer is a forgiver. Mm-hmm. The reality of it is, and I don't think the person that is not forgiving recognizes this, is, and I'll give you Anne says this all the time, then I'll explain it. She says that bitterness, unforgiveness, is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. And so often when we are acting in an uncharitable, unforgiving way, we think that the other person is getting what they deserve. But the reality of it is we are hindering our own walk with the Lord when we're not living in a way that He has prescribed for us as forgivers, to be compassionate, to be kind, to walk in humility, to walk in gentleness. And I think, just, you know, going back to Colossians, you know, for us to walk in gentleness is just trusting that God has ordained this. Mm-hmm. God, I'm not in control of this. You are in control of this. Mm-hmm. And so just, I think it's helpful in this conversation just to recognize, if you struggle with forgiving, the reality of it is you're hurting yourself. Mm-hmm. You're hindering your own spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. It is hard to be bitter towards your spouse, bitter towards a parent, bitter towards your employer, and sit down and have a sweet time with the Lord reading His Word. Mm-hmm. We're just not designed that way.
Mm. Yeah, to piggyback on what you said, we are responsible for our own holiness before the Lord, for our own walk with the Lord, our own faithfulness to what He has called us to be and to do. And the purpose for going to a brother to talk about their sin is not so that things would be made right on my side. I think that is a lower standard than what God has in His
Absolutely.
Word. Galatians 6:1, it is, you're going to restore the brother actually for their good, that they might be won back to honoring the Lord the way that they ought to honor the Lord in their walk. And so to think, I need to bring this up. I don't want to bring something up that is self-serving. I want to have their life be pleasing to the Lord. That should be my goal.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think a few things. This topic is so broad, and sometimes it kind of feels like we're taking different rabbit trails as we're talking. And I'm about ready to take us on another rabbit trail. That's why I own that. But I think it's helpful to recognize when you are forgiving, you're making a commitment to God. Mm. You are making a commitment that you're not going to bring this up unless there's admonishment needed. And I think that statement probably needs some explanation. If this is a one-off, or if this is something that has already been forgiven in the past and the behavior's changed, we're making a commitment. We're not going to bring it up. It's a commitment to God that I'm not going to gossip or even vent my anger to how I've been wronged. And the third commitment to the Lord is that I'm not going to dwell on this and have a pity party. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. The reality of it is you might find yourself having to go to the Lord multiple times, as Mark 11:25 says, when you stand praying, you know, forgive. You if it's been something that's really affected your life, you may need to do this more than once. Mm.
I've found that in my life where significant harm was done to people I love, thought I had forgiven, only to even years down the road, something happened and it was almost like a trigger for me. And I was disheartened, thinking, I thought I forgave them. Why? And all of a sudden, I noticed bitterness in my heart, and I thought I dealt with it. Can you talk about that? How would you help somebody who maybe there's good intent, they do want to forgive, maybe they've made practical steps, decision of the will, thought they forgave, but then some period of time down the road, maybe the offense comes up again, and it brings with it the weight of past offenses. How would you help somebody, maybe help me, how to navigate that? Did your first forgiveness not count? Were you not really forgiving? Yeah. That's something that I've wrestled with over the years. And what you said, it may come back and you have to
deal with it again.
Deal with it again.
I would say I'm going to add another nuance to your question. You may have truly forgiven, and just because it has come back doesn't necessarily mean that you didn't forgive properly. I think the best barometer of knowing have I forgiven is, am I growing spiritually? Mm. How is my relationship with the Lord? Mm. So if the reminder, the memory of something comes back, and there's a hurt there and there's a bitterness, I wouldn't necessarily say, oh, you didn't do it right the first time, but it's a call to do it again, to give it back to the Lord. Lord, I do not want this to hinder my relationship, because as we looked in Scripture, you know, how we forgive is how we're forgiven. I'm going to be clear here. That does not mean you lose your salvation. You don't forgive. Now you lost your salvation. But what that is saying is this will hinder your relationship with the Lord. Any sin will hinder our relationship with the Lord. And if it's a sin of unforgiveness and you have dealt with it, and here it is again, rearing its ugly head, you take the same steps and go back, Lord, I forgave years ago, and here I am again, Lord. It's hard. And the nuances of forgiveness, and I think it's probably helpful at some point just for us to even talk about what are the effects on the spiritual growth in a person that hasn't forgiven. Because that's going to be probably the best barometer to understand how are you doing in forgiveness.
I like that, Tom. I think we should talk about that. I was thinking, I was going to ask you, what are some helpful tools so that we're ready at the helm to forgive when somebody comes seeking our forgiveness or where we feel an offense? How are we ready quickly? But actually hearing the implications of what's at stake if we don't is probably a helpful motivator just in preparing us to be ready to forgive. Let's brainstorm on that a little bit. Let's think out loud. What are the implications practically where we hold on to bitterness, where we want to not release the offending party of that? Love to hear your thoughts on that. I know one thing that popped into my mind immediately was 1 Peter 2, and that we dull our craving for the word of God when there's envy, slander, hypocrisy, deceit. I think I have the order wrong. But those things are typically relational things that root out of bitterness, lack of forgiveness, being at enmity with somebody, those types of attitudes, those kinds of dispositions. It dulls our taste for the word of God.
Yep. I think there's absolutely, it changes our desire to be worshipers. I think if you have a persistent anger problem, whether it's just inward or maybe even outward, but I think if you struggle and recognize a struggle with anger, I think a good place to go is back to, is there something I need to forgive? Is there a reason why this is happening? We see this a lot in our society. You know, depression is talked about in so often in the mental health community. But I would say if you struggle with being moody or depressed, going back to, is there something I'm holding on to? Is helpful to be thinking through. I know the world's solution is just to stuff how you feel. And that's not the Lord's remedy. The Lord's remedy is you forgive. There's a good chance you've been sinned against so much, there's no way you could stuff it all.
Yeah.
But that's just not even a biblical thought. I think, as we think about the implications of not forgiving, is I think there becomes just being very superficial in relationships. It's hard to have a close, brotherly, sisterly love for other people if you're harboring bitterness.
Ultimately, if you're harboring bitterness, if you're unwilling to forgive, your eyes are clearly fixed on yourself in that moment.
Absolutely.
And so, to respond with a lack of forgiveness when wronged against is to repay evil with evil.
Right.
It's actually you're walking in unforgiveness. You're in disobedience towards the Lord. You're holding your wrath over them. It's also to not trust and entrust your situation to the Lord, to not trust the Lord and entrust your situation to the Lord, to where you're wanting to be the administrator of wrath. You want that person to get what is due them, and you want them to feel the weight of your offense as you treat them poorly or withhold the relationship or withhold good from them. And right. So what you've been saying is spot on, Tom. The implications of being unwilling to forgive are significant for your own spiritual well-being. Absolutely. With the Lord. And you simply look like the world. That's a key indicator of worldliness, where a key indicator of being a disciple of Christ is our love for one another in the body of Christ. And if you are unforgiving, you are unloving.
It's interesting, because in what you say is we live in a world that can very easily feel, and we hear it, they feel victimized.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to, am I totally deprived or am I totally depraved?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, am I just being deprived by what I really need? No, my biggest problem is my sin, not somebody else's sin.
Mm-hmm.
I love Genesis 50. We all know the story of Joseph. And in verse 20, and the brothers, they're fearing that Joseph is going to show retribution for their sinful behavior to them. And Joseph says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. And the question is, what's the it?
Mm-hmm.
God meant even evil for our good.
Hmm.
And it's Romans 8:28. God's working all things together for good. And praise God, in verse 29, he tells us what good is. He is using these things to conform us to look like our Savior.
Mm-hmm.
So am I feeling like I am the victim? I need to recognize God has promised he's going to use this to make me look more like Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And I realize I wholeheartedly agree with everything you said, Tom. And over the course of this discussion, we've made true big statements about God's sovereignty, his intention for his people, the significance of the forgiveness that we've received for our sins being so great in comparison with any sin that was done against us. And I imagine that there will be some listening to this discussion, listening to this podcast, who have had gross, egregious, damaging, life-altering sins committed against them. And where these truths intersect with the emotion of the hurt and the tragic reality of sin in this world and the damage that sin can cause, I know none of us, while we're talking big picture, big truths that are real and impactful and powerful and lose none of the force of their truth by the circumstances that somebody may have been privy to or the hurt that they've experienced, it can be hard to hear these things in light of your own pain and to let go of those things. And so I think for those listening, these truths are not somehow untruths because of how hurt you were. They're still true. And it takes a great level of self-control and an intentionality to fight what you feel and sift through your hurt and come to the reality of what Christ has offered you, Amen. What he's given you, and the forgiveness of your sins. And to realize my sin against a holy God, my sin may have not practically made me feel as bad as a sin done against me. The reality is my whole life was constantly in rebellion against God prior to salvation. And even in my salvation, I do things that are specifically counter God glorifying in this process of sanctification still. And so part of this is just being temperate and sober-minded, thinking rightly and agreeing with God. But that can be incredibly difficult and a hard road to walk. And one that, if you're listening to this and it is a hard road for you, draw near to the elders. If you're a woman, draw near to the older, wise women in the church. Let us come alongside and help and care for you. Because these things are significant and they're worth fighting for holiness in, and it can be really hard to navigate.
Absolutely.
Alone.
You know, interesting, just kind of throwing this onto what you said, Josh, it's really helpful what you said, but in the midst of dealing with having been sinned against, in dealing with being a forgiver, am I willing to thank God for the difficulty that he's allowed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Lord clearly instructs us, in all things we give thanks.
Yep.
This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And I think also, if you're struggling with being a forgiver, just ask, you know, Lord, how can I obey you in the midst of this situation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is hard. And I there's a two sides to this next coin is, you know, what is God trying to teach me in the midst of this? And the flip side of the coin is, this might not even have anything to do with me,
mm-hmm.
but just the world we live in.
Yeah. Well, we know from 1 John 5 that the commandments of the Lord are not burdensome. They're actually an expression of his love for us. There's nothing good that we lose when we forgive. And there is a lot of good that we miss out on when we are unwilling to forgive. So there's just no detriment to us personally when we release offenders of the offense that we have. It's only good for us. This command is not God trying to withhold something that will satisfy us. The reality is a lack of forgiveness never satisfies. It only is destructive. It's destructive, as you were talking about, for your own life personally, whether it be depression, bitterness, that's going to spill out on others. It's going to have a damaging effect on other relationships as well. So the call to forgive is not for you to give up something that's somehow kind of helping you deal with hurts from the past. It's actually God's means of care for you, that you wouldn't be burdened with something, first of all, that he's providential over. Secondly, he has good intention for you through that actually bears weight into eternity for believers. Amen. Even our trials, our hardships, our difficulties, the sin done against us, all of these things, God's using these things. And if we're unwilling to forgive, that shows a heart disposition of rebellion against God, lack of trust in God. Yeah. And so forgiveness is not just for the benefit of the one who sinned against us. It's actually significantly beneficial for you spiritually before the Lord when we take the hard steps toward forgiveness.
Yeah, God is still on the throne.
Yep.
Yeah. You can trust him with this. You can seek to honor him.
Hmm. You know, there's a little cliche saying that whatever is Lord of your life, whatever controls you is Lord of your life. Mm. If bitterness is controlling your life, that's what you're worshiping. Mm.
I hope this has been a helpful discussion so far. I want to maybe wrap up this portion with one more question, and then I want to shift gears a little bit. How can I know, or how should I think about knowing if I've truly forgiven someone? What are indicators? Maybe I've been fighting for forgiveness, losing an uphill battle. I finally think maybe I've done it. How do I know if I've forgiven someone?
Mm. I think the first barometer to look at is, are you growing spiritually? Do you have a heart that just craves the things of the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
It is, I think, as I've looked in my own life, I think it's impossible to hold on to bitterness and have a vibrant love for the Lord.
Mm.
They just don't exist.
Mm. Tom, that's both really insightful and sobering when thinking about forgiveness, the implications of that, the detriment to my own spiritual well-being, that if I withhold forgiveness, my appetite for the word, appetite for fellowship, joy in the Lord, eagerness to even engage in the body of Christ will most likely be hindered. And so those are helpful warning signs to keep in mind. We've talked for quite some time on forgiveness, and we've talked about it at this point in probably a more flattering way in regards to how we extend forgiveness towards others. really probably what should be more pressing on our mind is how do we seek forgiveness when we sin against somebody else? And that's probably a part of just thinking through forgiveness and its role in our lives, that we're probably less naturally to give intentional thought to that because we're kind of more flattering towards ourselves. But the reality is we sin, we are offenders frequently. How would you help someone think through going to seek forgiveness from somebody else?
Great question, and again with a lot of nuances. I think the first thing I'd want to say is the goal of seeking forgiveness, the goal of forgiveness is reconciliation. Mm. So the attitude of going to seek forgiveness from somebody is the goal of the relationship being restored. And so it's not enough to frequently you'll hear somebody say, I am sorry I did this. Well, that's only one side of the equation. Mm-hmm. If you want true reconciliation between two parties, the proper way to seek forgiveness would be, will you please forgive me? Mm. To articulate what it was you had done, and even articulate how they probably felt by what you have done. And then there's a response that you now know that you are either reconciled or there's still more work to be done. Mm. But for the believer, the correct response would be, of course I forgive you. But the goal is not just something mechanical. The goal is, in the same way we've been reconciled to God, we want to be reconciled to one another. Mm.
Mm-hmm. So coming into that situation, there needs to be a level of humility to recognize this may be a process. I know sometimes there can be a compulsive, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's not actually.
I just want to get beyond
this. I feel
this.
Bad.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm sorry you feel offended by this. Yeah. Like, that's not taking ownership.
If I did anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I may have done something.
Yes. Yes. If you felt this way as a result of my action, I'm sorry you felt that way. That's not taking ownership for the action.
Not, no.
That's not actually creating reconciliation. There is a vulnerability that you're creating for yourself. There's a level of humility, ownership, when you're seeking forgiveness. And I think that biblical language is really helpful. I sinned. I did this. I was angry. I was impatient. I preferred myself over you in a way that was inconsiderate and unloving. Would you please forgive me for the selfish, or whatever the issue is?
And it might even be, will you please forgive me when I did this? I recognize you could feel very unloved.
Mm-hmm.
And just to show that you've given some thought to how your sin has impacted.
Yeah. You're not just trying to squelch the consequences for what you did. You're actually looking to reconcile the relationship.
Absolutely.
How about when someone is not ready to extend forgiveness? How should I think I'm seeking forgiveness? You know, I've heard, especially in marriage relationships, this can be a sticking point where, you know, a spouse seeks forgiveness and starts making demands upon how their spouse must forgive them.
I think if you're seeking forgiveness and the other party needs to think about it, or even unwilling to forgive at that moment, I think making a commitment by asking a question like, can I give you a few days to think about this, and can we talk about this again?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It is the mark of a believer. If a believer is not willing to forgive, there's probably a need to have other people close to them, walking with them in a discipleship relationship. And I'm going to throw this out. If that's you, if you're thinking there's times I don't feel like forgiving, go back to Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35, and just identify which person you are in that parable. We're the ones, believers, we're the ones that have been forgiven much. Mm-hmm. And there's no room for us to not be forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say just inform your thinking. If forgiving somebody is difficult, inform your thinking with God's word, not what you feel like.
Mm-hmm.
When you are confessing your sin to someone else, you are agreeing with God about what your sin is. And that should be a humbling prospect. Tom, I've heard you say when you are seeking forgiveness, you are putting your head on the chopping block and handing them the axe. You are humbling yourself before them.
Yep.
It is really not helpful in that moment to say, I am so sorry I did this, but you did this, or but this was going on, and try to justify yourself in that moment. I think that would be something to be thinking about beforehand. Mm-hmm. I am offering myself up. I'm agreeing with God. This was sin, or it just wasn't loving enough.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't honoring God the way that I could have been honoring God in this situation, and yeah, I'm even ready to accept consequences that come from this. But I want to honor God in how I address it, like God would have me address it.
Mm-hmm. You know, Tyler, that is really helpful to think through, because there's some implications to wrong thinking. You know, here you are agreeing with God, I have sinned. And I know there can be a hindrance to seeking forgiveness. Because realistically, sometimes it's truly both parties have ownership in the offense, in the sin. And if I own it, the other person gets off free. No, I'm just agreeing with God.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if the other person doesn't see how they added to this conflict or this situation. I am doing this because it's pleasing to the Lord. And if the other person doesn't recognize, I could trust the Lord with that. I have to trust the Lord with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Maybe one more consideration in navigating those types of situations. When seeking forgiveness and it's being withheld, the attitude of, what have I got to do to get you to forgive me?
Yeah.
I think it's easy to confuse penance with repentance. And seeking forgiveness is not a balancing of the scales. I've got to somehow make this up to you, make this right. The goal is reconciliation. If you've sinned, the remedy is a grace, an yes. extension, a releasing of the offense, not doing good enough to where now I can earn it back from the person. But if there's right. truly repentance, there's going to be a change in life. Right. That's different than trying to earn a reconciled relationship.
Absolutely.
So whether you're the offender or the offendee, the goal is reconciliation. The method is Christ-like releasing of offenses and grace, right. mercy being extended in that moment. And true repentance will produce change. You're going to exasperate your spouse if you sin. Please forgive me.
Yeah.
And then there's zero effort to actually change your behavior or your conduct that was offensive. That's going to be exasperating.
Yeah, I'm going to throw something out there that might cloud the water so much that we have to do another podcast. But sometimes the reality is there are consequences for our sin.
Mm-hmm.
and the you may be receiving forgiveness from another person, but just because there's consequences doesn't mean that the person's not hasn't forgiven.
Yep.
You just worry about your own heart before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But there may be consequences.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when you look at 2 Corinthians 7 and a godly sorrow in keeping with repentance, that's a sorrow without regret. That's you're glad your sin got found out because you can deal with it. You're not embittered by the consequences of your sin. Right. You're actually thankful for those, eager to walk in those because you want to honor the Lord in your repentance and you're willing to take ownership of the consequences and view that more valuable to be repentant and reconciled than holding on to your sin, not getting found out, not having to navigate those consequences and so forth.
Well, and that's going to make another podcast.
There we go.
Talk about repentance.
Another one. Yeah. good stuff here. I hope as you've been listening throughout these sessions on forgiveness, the glowing theme for us in both being forgivers and seeking forgiveness is that we just keep coming back to the gospel, that we keep coming back to Christ, looking to who he is, what he has done, the forgiveness that he has extended that is so undeserved, the eternal ramifications of him being willing to lay down his life to release us of our offenses, and how that should impact our daily living as ones who live under his grace. He truly is a wonderful God.
Wow. Just Josh, what you just said, just think of the high calling of the believer that we get to emulate our Savior and be a forgiver.
Mm. It's a privilege.
It's a privilege.
I think we lie to ourselves at times and think that's some sort of burden, and it's a privilege to forgive as we've been forgiven.
Yeah, it reminds me of Ephesians chapter 5, the verse, therefore, be imitators of God, beloved children.
Amen. We'll close with that. Thank you, men, for your wisdom.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Word and the Walk podcast. The Word and the Walk podcast is a ministry of Gilbert Bible Church. For more information, please visit our website at gilbertbible.com.